We're in the final stretch of our sermon series on the Beatitudes and spiritual disciplines, and how the two of them relate to one another. We're looking at the corporate spiritual disciplines. We've looked at the inward spiritual disciplines, we've looked at the outward spiritual disciplines. Now we come to the corporate spiritual disciplines. Those things that we do together to live out our faith as a community, things which commemorate the past, things which proclaim God's truth, things which encourage one another as we do them, and acts that point to the value of the other disciplines. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. In this beatitude, Jesus is pointing at the struggles and the difficulties that we go through in our lives, and once again, taking our expectations and turning them on their heads, he says that opposition is to be expected and valued for what it means, that we're on the right path some of the time. It depends on the sort of opposition and who it's coming from and how we deal with that. But simply because someone opposes us doesn't necessarily mean that we're headed in the wrong direction. Perhaps we're headed in the right direction. We're just doing it in a way that rubs someone the wrong way. Maybe we need to keep moving forward, but tread more carefully. Jesus calls us to rejoice in the midst of oppression. He calls us to celebrate this opposition. And he hearkens back to the prophets. Now, anyone who's done much reading about the Old Testament prophets know that their lives were not always convenient and easy and simple, as they sought to dramatically portray to the people of God what God would have them to hear. They rarely were listened to. People were likely to look down on them. They were called to do unpleasant or uncomfortable things. We remember Jonah, who had to go to Nineveh. And for those of us who don't understand the historical background, it might seem strange that Jonah ran in the opposite direction of what God had called him to. But when we understand who the Ninevites were to the Jewish people, to the ancient Israelites, they would have been those who were oppressors, those who were the source of misery. It would have been akin to someone asking a modern-day Jew to go and minister to a group of Nazis. These were people who had done terrible things, and Jonah wanted no part of bringing healing and comfort to people who had brought to his people nothing but pain. We remember Ezekiel, who was called to lie on his side in the middle of the marketplace for 390 days straight, to represent the 390 years that was in the prophecy he was expressing. And when that 390 days finally came to an end, he was told to go and lie on his other side for another 40 days. Lying on the ground in the middle of a busy marketplace, day after day, for more than a year. We remember Hosea, who was called to go and marry a woman of ill repute. And when she was unfaithful to him and left him for men who were abusing her, he was called to go and bring her back and clean her up and restore her to be his wife again, representing the way in which, even though Israel had been unfaithful to their God, God was willing to clean them up and restore them and bring them back again. And all of these Old Testament prophets were called to do things that were troublesome, that were humiliating, that were painful, that were awkward, that were inconvenient, to dramatically display to God's people what was coming, what was to be. We remember the Apostle Paul, who suffered beatings and imprisonment. All, in fact, of the 12 were killed but one. People who are called to serve God are not promised a convenient, comfortable life. Sometimes following God is painful, as God does what needs to be done to shock people out of their stupor and bring them to a sense of what is, of what was, and what will be. It isn't always pleasant to be a follower of God. We're looking today at worship, what it means to gather together on a Sunday morning here and honor God, to give Him the esteem that is His due. We speak the truth and we say that God is powerful, mighty, just. Knowing God is the most valuable pursuit that we can undertake in our life. Living in accordance with God's will is the best that we can hope for in our lives, because God loves us and He gives us commands and advice that is there not to impinge upon our freedom, but to show us God's wisdom and how, if we will follow, He will lead us in that way everlasting. Coming to trust God is a source of peace and contentment that we receive in no other way. That doesn't mean that it's always easy to honor God. We live in a broken world, and we want to ask the tough questions. Why is there war and rumor of war? Why is there hardship and suffering and hunger and pain and disease and famine and earthquake and flood and all of the things that come crashing down upon us and weigh us down? Why isn't life easier? If God loved us, wouldn't we feel it in the practical details of how this world impacts us? And we want to ask those questions. We want to come before God and yell when someone that we love passes away. We want to come before God and point out the injustice and ask, why would you do such a thing? Well, we read in Scripture that that's exactly what the people who wrote the Psalms do. How long, O Lord, will you stay your hand? Why must we suffer? Look at my enemies who are pursuing me. The example that we're given in the Bible is not pushing those questions down and stifling them and refusing to bring them before God. The example that we're given in Scripture is of being honest with God when we are frustrated, when we are in pain, when we are hurting, and to bring that and just lay it before God and say, I've hurt. This isn't good. I need help. Those are the moments when, if we are honest with God, God reaches into our lives and gains healing and sustaining power. The alternative is to hold on to our anger, to push down our doubt and confusion, and to deny the realities of our lives before God and to be the happy, clappy people who just do whatever they think God wants us to do. But that's not real faith. We come before God to share our joy, but we also come before God to live out our pain, knowing that God cares for us, trusting that He will hear us in those moments. God is not threatened by your doubt, by your confusion, by your anger. He doesn't want you to push it down. He wants you to be honest about it. God would rather have us close and angry than distant and silent. Are we being honest with God? Do we trust God with our tough questions? Are we hiding from God to protect God from our anger. We've spoken about prayer, and prayer is a big subject. The way that we've talked about prayer in the context of spiritual disciplines is to say that it is our attempt to lay before God where we are, who we are, what we're feeling, to be honest with God about what's going on with our lives. And the reason that we do that is to build a relationship with our Creator. When you're in a relationship with someone and you get home at the end of the day and you say, "How was your day?" And that person says, that isn't forming a connection. But when someone comes home at the end of the day and you say, "How was your day?" And they tell you how miserable it was and what happened to them and how frustrated they were and they couldn't tell anybody else because they had to put on that happy face and serve their customers or deal with their patients or build the community that they were leading. The person that you can be honest with is the person that you trust. God wants to be the person that you can be honest with in your prayer life. The person that you can come before and let it all hang out. Say, "This is me, no mask, this is what's going on with me." That's what our prayer lives should be. When we feel joy, to express the joy. When we feel pain, to be honest about the pain. We're learning to tell it like it is and to trust that God will be okay with that. Prayer is our response to God's initiative. When God reveals to us in His Word who He is, prayer is our opportunity to reflect that back and say, "You have shown me who You are in Scripture. This is who I am in the context of my life." When we pray, our beliefs become faith, a way of living out what we know to be true. And we build within ourselves a commitment to follow the ideals that God lays forth in His Word. The inward discipline is prayer. The outward discipline is simplicity. As we learn to focus on God, it shows in our lives when we begin to focus less on the things that are distractions. We live in a world full of things which draw our attention. Facebook, television, consumerism. There are so many directions in which we're pulled. But what is truly important? What is it that we need to focus on? These distractions can get in the way of our relationship with God. But developing a rich prayer life can teach us to focus on what truly matters. And people can see in what we focus on what it is that we believe is important. When I sit around the kitchen table and I have my phone out, and I'm reading the news of the day, my kids will often say to me, "Daddy, why do you like news so much? What's so important about the news?" And it's a reminder to me to put the phone away and to forget about whatever politician has come up with whatever crazy statement that is driving me crazy and that I can do nothing about. But there are my children, those on whom I can have an impact, those upon whom my love and affection and attention is important, and I need to not neglect them. We need to carve out a time every day to be alone with God, to develop that sense of His presence, to share with Him how our day has been, and to enter into the rich fullness of God in our lives. When we live a simple life, we accept things that truly matter as being important. And we're able to let go of that which isn't essential. We're able to accept the limits of our human existence. No matter how much I yell at my phone, Donald Trump's not going to hear me. We must prioritize. Do the things that matter, the things where we can have an impact. We need to love our families, honor God, and work to make the world a better place. Keep it simple, smart guy. And so once we have built that sense of prayer and simplicity in our own lives, we come together as a community and we worship. We sing our songs, we pray our prayers, and we do it together, building one another up in a community of faith. But worship isn't just music. Worship is bigger than that. When we worship, we act justly. We do what is right. When we worship, we love those who are around us and value them. When we worship, we respect the planet. We value God's creation. When we worship, we read scripture. We greet one another. We lead Sunday school. We get together for coffee one-on-one. Anything that coheres with God's will in pursuit of a faithful life, that's worship. Worship, the word, the root comes from the word worth, the same root for both. When we worship, we recognize God's worth, the value of his place in our lives. And it doesn't need to be an external act, just an internal recognition of who God is as we go about our daily business. That's worship. What we're talking about this morning is how we express that sense of God's importance and presence in our lives together as a community. And as we gather, we sing songs that touch us deeply, songs that have a long history, songs that speak to us theologically. We read scripture to one another. We read it responsively. We dwell upon it. We study it. We share our sorrows and our needs. We celebrate our joys and our triumphs as we come together in corporate prayer. And we share our understanding of God's word and our world through sermons. In all of these ways, we are coming together to say what is true, to say what is most true, that God is real, that God loves us, that we must love him back. These are the things that matter. And so we live in community, teaching one another by our example, by our activities, who God is, what is important, what we need from one another. And we invest in the lives of our fellow Christians. It's easy to go off the track when we are the sole arbiters of our own faith. Faith grows best in the context of a community where we can speak to one another, where we can be an example for one another, where we can care for one another. We need the feedback, the interaction, and the support that comes with a loving community that tells us the truth, even when it's hard. That shows us who we are, even when it's unpleasant, that we might shed that which holds us back and come into the glorious presence of God, our Father, Jesus, his Son, and the Holy Spirit that indwells us and brings us to a new understanding of God the Father. God designed us and our faith to grow in the context of community. And that is what we find here on a Sunday morning, singing our songs, praying our prayers, reading our scripture, being the God. Let us know that the truest statement we can make is that God is good, loving, and kind, even when the world is harsh. Let us respond to God in prayer, being shaped into those who interact with and honor the one who made us. Let us learn to let go of that which holds us back, prioritizing the things of God above the distractions of the world. And let us worship in spirit and in truth, lifting one another up and praising God for who He is and what He has done for us. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come, unworthy, broken, frustrated, angry. We lay all of that at your feet. We trust that you are the one who heals, restores, makes new. Make us new this morning as we pray in your holy and powerful name.